Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy all, it's Gross Glen Out Wednesday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 23rd, 2011, episode 103, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Hey, Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It was actually a little bit chilly in Phoenix yesterday, and the horses were all absolute nut jobs. My perfect angel of a baby, who does nothing wrong, he took off with me yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
You went for a ride?
I went for a ride, and it was one of those days where I'm like, it's so beautiful, it is so perfect out, I need to go gallop my horse in the desert. And I have this little trail that I gallop, and he is, I guess, well aware of what that trail means, because he got from one end to the other a lot faster than I was anticipating. So, but it was a fun ride. Always wear your helmet, people.
reminded you of your jockey days?
It did, actually. Well, see, I always shorten my stirrups and jack him up a little bit higher and get off his back and, bridge my reins and kind of do it all. And then yesterday was the first day where I was like, I remembered what it was like, because I let a little notch in the reins out because I thought, well, he's being good now. The second I let half an inch out of those reins, he was gone. And that's what reminded me of my days. I'm like, wow, you feel good today. It was nice. So at least he had a little bit of excitement about him. So it was fun. What did you guys do?
Got it out of his system, huh? Got it out of his system. Yesterday is just a busy day here at the studios. We were busy. Tuesday is always my busiest day because we record Tack and Habit on Tuesday, and then we have to edit a lot of the shows. The Western show went out. So it's just a busy
that,
day. Oh,
that Western
I was supposed to give you a message.
Oh,
yeah?
Okay. I was going to say, that Western show takes a lot of editing, too, because they mess up all the time. So you must have a lot of work cut out when you when you edit the Western show.
They goof off half the time, and I have to cut that out. I can't even give you bloopers from the Western show from this week because Tammy was feeling a little ornery, let's say. So I don't know if
bleep it out.
it would be nothing but beep beep beep. So can't give you any Western show stuff from this week. But Alan wanted me to give you a message. He actually sent over, your favorite singer Monty. You know, we've had They played his song one day and you almost fell asleep because it was really old country. Well, he sent six more of his songs over.
All right. I love it.
He said, if I ever get mad at you, I can just play them all in a row.
Now, don't get me wrong. There is a time and a place for old country. I just think that maybe on an upbeat, fun morning show, it might not have been the best fit. So that's all I was saying.
That's a way to spin
it. No disrespect. No disrespect.
Hey, speaking of fun, we are going to fun today, and Jennifer's going to tell us about it. We are going to be clowning around.
Yeah. On today's show, all clowning aside, we are joined by none other than rodeo clown Rocky Robin Hodges. Woohoo! Yep, we will have several clowns on the show today, and I will leave it up to our listeners to figure out who they are. And being Wednesday, the horse.com will be here to ruin Glenn's lunch with part three of Horse Hoof, Hoof 101. Stay tuned. Keep the comments coming.
Should we have our argument now?
Get it
do
over
want to
with.
Do the day
Get it over with.
What argument?
Well,
what are we arguing about
Glenn
now?
Glenn and I don't really, we don't really see eye to eye, and Jennifer seems to ride the fence a little bit because she has heard it both ways. But Glenn, what is that piece of what is that part of the horse's body that is underneath their fetlock pastern and then the what?
It's a hoof. A hoof. H-O-O-F. Hoof.
Jamie, you just made the assumption that Glenn knows what a fetlock or a pastern are.
Hey. I have been listening to the horse health segments here on the morning show. I know.
Well, then you did not learn how to pronounce it correctly. What horses stand on are not, what do you call it?
It's a hoof. H-O-O-F. Proper English. Hoof.
It's not a hoof. It's you sound like you're British and you're 75 years old. It's the hoof. It's a hoof. It's a hoof. I don't understand.
Now, wait
okay.
a minute. I think
Anybody
you're wrong.
That,
I think you're wrong.
No. You're not British and 75 years old. It's not a hoof. It's a hoof. And anybody who agrees with me, I would like them to post on our Facebook page that Jamie is right. Jamie is right. It's a hoof. It's not a hoof. It's a hoof.
It's a hoof.
And I guess it's not a hoof. I think only people from Pennsylvania call it that. So anybody not from Pennsylvania
All right.
can post
Hold on.
On our Facebook page.
Hold on. All right, we're gonna have to decide right now, and I have not played this before, but when you go to dictionary.com now, they actually have an audio file that you can play that says the word. So here we go. Let's put what the audio file says.
Hoof.
Hoof. I think I'm right. Hoof. That's what. Hoof.
Hoof.
Oh, I hate him. He's wrong. He's wrong. He's absolutely wrong. I don't care what dictionary.com said.
It's hoof. If you thought you were going to be all smart, it's phonetically pronounced hoof. No, it's not hoof. It's not three O's. It's a hoof. You're both wrong. I'm right.
Damn it.
I'm going to go on to our Facebook page right now and post that Jamie is right. And I would like the rest of you to join me, please, right now on Horses in the Morning on our Facebook page. Jamie... Hold on, I spelled my name wrong. Jamie is right.
Wait a minute, I'm trying to post faster than you.
Oh, I'm going to sign your name.
I've solved it. You didn't go to howjsay.com, did you?
No, I went to dictionary.com.
Watch, listen, I see, I can't make it do it on your mind. Maybe I can get my
Which one is it? Okay, so where is
go
it?
Go to how, H-O-W, J, say.com.
What kind of crap website is that? You got to go to the source, and the source is dictionary.com, okay? I mean, it was your argument to go to dictionary.com, and I believe, play it again. What do you say?
Well, I mean, I went there, Jennifer, but it doesn't do anything.
If you, let me hold my microphone up to my speaker. Hang on.
This is high-tech radio here.
Yeah? Did you hear that?
We didn't hear that.
I thought he...
Yeah, you did. You're allowed
to.
Mine's not saying anything.
Jamie's right. Jamie's right.
Hoof. Hoof. Hoof.
You have to hold the mouth
Rick,
over it.
Hoof.
Rick Conley.
Hoof.
Oh, wait a minute. There's two parts to this.
Hoof or hoof.
Either way, we're both right.
Look, I would like to point out that on our Facebook page right now, Jamie is right, Glenn, from Jackie Baker. Jackie Baker, and I'm from Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Oh, what
Rick
the heck
Conley.
Does she know?
Rick Conley, Jamie is correct. It is hoof. It is not hoof, unless you're British at 75
hoof
years old.
I get it.
What website is that again? Because I'm pretty sure that is from the UK. That is a .UK website, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but on the pronunciation, they don't tell us which one's which. It could be the other way around, you know.
I'm just telling dictionary.com.
Sorry. Okay, all of our British listeners, chime in on this one, how you're supposed to say it.
I think even they say hoof because they're not 100. I'm telling you. I think I'm right. We have
okay,
British
well,
people. Come on.
You know, I like Jackie thing, but I'll tell you what. the fact that she's sticking up for you on this one and she's from Pennsylvania, I don't know, Jackie. I don't know. Might have to disavow or any relationship with Jackie now because she's sticking up with stuff for you. Yeah.
So, Jackie, by the way,
Let's change the subject now.
Wait, I would like to point out that your one male listener, Rick Conley, one of like three, actually agrees with me too. So the men aren't even sticking together; they're jumping ship on your hoof comment.
And our daily witty for today, not to change the subject or anything, is from Clifford Harris. He says, you have a great show. I like listening at night before I go to bed. Thank you. You know, I never know if this is a compliment. By the way, that's our third male listener that we know about. Thank you, Clifford, for that. But, you know, I listen to the podcast when I go to bed, too. And they're so good to put me to sleep. So it's nice to know that we can help people go to sleep. I think that's a service that we provide. It's something that we can take pride in.
Dear Clifford, thank you for listening to us on your way to sleep. Just close your eyes, relax, take a deep breath, and fall asleep listening to this boring show. We'll just talk him to sleep every night. Good night, Clifford.
And just because I respect Jackie, even though she doesn't know what the hell she's talking about when how to say words, I have a daily winning. This is for our friend Jackie from Regarding Horses, who obviously doesn't know how to say words. She lost her cat 2 days ago and found him yesterday, and he was none the worse for the wear. So I'm saying congratulations. I'm glad your cat came back, and we're happy that you got your kitty back home. He's a house cat that escaped and apparently went on some wild adventures for a day and then came back. So we're glad that the kitty was back. Oh, and we have a caller on the line, so let's and who wants to chime in on the argument here? Oh, good. Let's get Dale on the line here. Hey, Dale, are you on my side or hers?
I'm on your side, Glenn.
Yay!
How do you say it?
You can stay. So stay. Tell me why I'm right.
Okay, I grew up in New Holland, Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of things. One, it's if you say the plural of the word, it's not hooves, it's hooves.
It's hooves.
So the only logical deduction from that, if you say the singular, is that you say exactly the way that Glenn says it.
I like this guy.
Which is? Say it the way you would say it.
It's a hoof.
Ugh, Pennsylvania people, y'all are messed up.
No. It's a hoof. It's not Pennsylvania people. And I do want to say that the fact that I graduated from high school with Glenn has nothing to do with the fact that I'm back.
I was just thinking about this. I was just thinking, is this the Dale I think it is? You graduated in
yes,
my class?
Is. Yes,
oh, my
I
God,
did.
I haven't talked to you, Dale, since we graduated, I think.
It's been a long time, but, yep, I found you on Facebook and and have been listening. But regardless, you are correct. And my daughter has been riding horses for 12 years, and she says it the same way that we do.
Well, and your daughter would correct you if you were wrong, too.
If I remember right, you have the same last name as our guest today.
Almost. I have five letters, not six, but yes, very close.
Right. Okay, so that I'm just clarifying that you are who I thought you were.
Yes, and your last name has six letters in it, so yep, we're good to go.
Well, yep. Thank you for listening. This is a thrill. I didn't realize you were even listening. That's cool.
Yep.
That's cool. And you know what? I am so glad that there is somebody that actually knows how to pronounce things in this country and that called in to support me.
Amen. The fact that that small pocket in Lancaster County knows how to pronounce all the words in the country. You know, I have nothing to say about the rest of the country.
Hey, Dale,
you know
I got
to
say this. Go ahead, Janie. You can go.
I was just going to say, y'all were raised poorly. I mean, y'all were raised poorly. If y'all can't pronounce it right, then I don't want to talk to y'all anymore.
I think Guns was raised poorly.
That probably was. Hey, Dale, we had a story the other day on the show about two Amish kids in Ohio that were racing and got in an accident, racing their buggies down the road. And I said, you know, that's something you'd see all the time in Lancaster County.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'd see those Amish kids would get out there on Saturday night, and they'd be racing down the back roads, and you'd come over a hill, and there'd be two buggies in front of you.
Well, I got to tell you, that was about the sanest thing that happened on Saturday night in Amish country, especially in the summer. We lived on an Amish farm my senior year, and I can't tell you the parties and the other things that went down with them. But yeah, lots of buggy racing, and then they would just unhitch the buggy sometimes, and the guys would jump on the back of those huge horses and take off just because they wanted to impress the girls.
Yep, that's right. Well, I'm glad to hear what kind of riding does your daughter do?
Western. I'm sorry, she says Eastern, mostly jumping. She's actually been accepted to Goucher College here north of Baltimore for equestrian.
Cool. Well, congratulations on that. That's fun. And thank you so much for calling. Now I know we have four male listeners. Now we can add Dale to the list. Thank you, Dale. It's good to talk to you again.
You too, Glenn. Take it easy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
No, Glenn, let's be real here. Let's be real here. First of all, you have a ringer from your neighborhood. Apparently, the people on your street are the only ones that call it. Well, I don't even know what you say. I'm so confused. Plus, his daughter rides Eastern. I'm not going to take advice or an argument
I
for somebody.
He's a horse dad. What's he know? But you know what? It was actually kind of fun. Last week you had somebody from your past call, and this week, and I didn't put him up to that either. I didn't know he was listening. I didn't know his kids actually rode. Now, I do want to say, though, that we've had a caller now that has called in to back me up. How many callers have you had to back you up?
Let me check.
We have 12
You've been
minutes.
Hanging up on all.
We have 12 minutes for somebody to call 347-637-3238 if you think Jamie's right. And I'm going to say that at the end of 12 minutes, if we don't have any callers supporting you, I'm right. I'm just going to declare that because obviously they're supporting me because nobody's calling. You know, they're doing the easy Facebook thing. Nobody's calling.
Well, I would like for you to look at the Facebook page and see how many people agree with me. It is not hoof. It's hoof. It's just a hoof. It's a hoof. It's a huff. So please, somebody call. Help me out. Jackie, what are you doing? Pick up the phone. I know you're listening. Liam, I don't know what Liam said. Liam wrote hoof, not huff. I don't think either one is what we were saying. However, Liam is also from overseas. You can't listen to a word he says because he doesn't know what he's talking about either.
I think it must be a male-female thing, the way it's breaking down here. Except, you know what, though? We had Rick who is agreeing with you, but you know what? He's a pony club dad. What's he know? So
everything.
I don't know. I don't know. Nobody is calling. The lines are blank. Nobody is calling 347-637-3238 to support Jamie here. Wait a minute. There is a call coming in. I bet you this one is – Jennifer's going to pick it up here. I bet you this one's going to support me. I bet
it
is. Because
I'll just put her on. I know.
And by the way, Jamie, as a note here, we have a big thunderstorm rolling in right this minute. So if I get cut off, I'll call back.
Okay. Yeah, you get cut off when you lose the argument. Oh, how ironic. Oh, by accident, I accidentally got disconnected.
Look, it's Jackie. I think, Jackie, you have a bad line. I don't know that we can take your call. You're all breaking up.
Puff, Glenn. Puff.
Can't hear you, Jackie.
It's two horse women to one horse husband. You totally lose.
No. Dale is
totally
a horse dad,
lose.
So it's a horse husband and a horse dad.
But you know what? Horse dads and horse husbands, we love you guys, but when it comes to horses, you just don't know stuff like we do.
Thank you.
You're great. We love you.
I'm sorry, Jackie.
When it comes to horses, but it's still 2-1, Jen. Huff.
Apparently, Jennifer doesn't count here.
Well, she's still outnumbered.
Yep.
It counts a little more, Glenn.
I don't understand why this is even an argument.
I know.
This is so ridiculous.
It's not hooves. It's hooves.
I know. Thank you. The guy
it's
from
hooves.
Lancaster. Say that again. Say that in silence. You see how ridiculous it sounds.
It does. It does.
Hooves.
Give me a break here, guys. I never even knew there was an argument till Jamie brought it up this morning.
I gotta say, Glenn, I was down at your house a couple of weeks ago, and you know what? For some reason, we got talking about hooves, and you know that word would come up every once in a while, and every time you said hooves, I'd cringe.
Yes.
Not kidding.
Thank you.
I noticed when I was at your house a week ago.
I'll tell you what.
I couldn't take it anymore, Jackie. I couldn't take it anymore. I've heard it for we started the show November 1st, and I've been listening and sitting patiently and waiting and just biding my time for the argument to come up because the first time I heard that, I'm like, clearly he did not just say hooves, but he did, and he did it over and over and over again, and I just blew my top today. I couldn't help it.
You know, you hung in there a really long time. I'm pretty impressed.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think we're going to have – okay. Now, we got the horse coming on today in their weekly Gross Glenn Out segment, and they're talking about hooves. So I will – we'll ask them. And do we have Dr. Jones? We'll let Dr. Jones, a veterinarian, she'll call. And she's from Florida, which is kind of like, you know, no man's land. So we'll have her make the decision about which is best. We'll throw it on her. Okay. That a deal?
I think I like that because I think I'm going to win because she's a woman and she's intelligent. Jackie, thank you for being on my side. Thank you for suffering through the hoof pronunciation for as long as you did as well. I just couldn't take it anymore, and I appreciate you getting on my side. And I thank you. I'm glad you found your kitty cat.
Me too. Bad kitty. Not supposed
to. But then you just posted on Facebook, Jackie, that your horse is lame.
I know. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's kind of how I felt last night. I'm like, you know, all of my animals need to stop being in cahoots to try to drive me crazy all at once.
Good luck.
Because they just explained this whole thing. They did.
Well, Jackie, good luck with the pony and I would thank you for calling in, but I'm kind of sorry you did, actually. So,
well, you know what? Somebody had to stick up for Jamie. I wasn't going to let that ultimatum slide. If nobody calls in, then you win. I couldn't let that happen, Glenn.
Love you, Jackie.
Talk to you later, Jackie.
Hi, guys.
I think she was going to agree with me one more time before you hung up on her.
You notice how quickly I hung up on her, don't you?
I do. I can't even believe this is an argument. But, yes, we will let Dr. Jones from Florida, because they're doing a segment on hooves, they will go ahead and tell us the correct pronunciation. I just think that you and Jen have been living in your own little world, spending too much time together, and you both now talk incorrectly. And I love you both. It's not your fault.
Well, you know, I just got a news thing here, not to change the subject, but to change the subject, that Elizabeth Taylor just died this morning.
No way.
She died at 79 of congestive heart failure. So I knew she wasn't doing well, but matter of fact, you know, with people like Liz Taylor, you kind of go, was she still alive? You know, you kind of remember, did she die? But so she died this morning. So Liz Taylor, and they just did, or it was tonight or last night, they did on ABC the top movies of the top movies ever. I don't know if you saw that, but I want to bring up that list. We'll talk about that a little later in the week because I totally disagree with some of them. So we'll have to chat about that a little later in the week too. But let's get to our sponsor this half hour, and then we'll just put this to rest, this hoof thing to rest, until 10 o'clock when we get Dr. Jones on, and you know, we'll see what she has. Jennifer's going to talk to her. Hey, Jennifer, you're talking to her first. Maybe you can prime her a little.
That's never going to happen. Jennifer will be fair. She will be fair. Hey, our sponsor today is Back on Track, and Back on Track products are uniquely designed with the dual capacity to help prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries. This Back on Track is awesome. It's like so scientific. You don't even get it, but it works no matter what type of athlete you care for. Being an experienced campaigner or a talented young prospect, Back on Track products are essential tools you need to be using to maximize athletic performance and minimize injury and discomfort. Back on Track lineup includes products for the most common stress injuries and injury-prone areas, including hock boots. They offer an excellent fit, easily forming a smooth, close contact with the horse's leg. The outer material is durable neoprene. The inner is lined with Back on Track's revolutionary ceramic-infused fiber. It's available in two styles, with a hole for the point of the hock or without. Find Back on Track therapeutic exercise boots at your local retailer or online, and you can learn more about Back on Track products at backontrackproducts.com.
All right, and we have our guest going to be coming up here shortly, and we're very excited to have him on. You know, I was going to say, I think this is the first clown we've had on the show, but then you and I are on here every day, so that's probably not a true statement. But he's actually the first clown that's probably been in front of a bull in a barrel that's been on the show.
That's true. That's true. So
I think he's got us there. I think we're getting him on the line now, but I have a little introduction for him and a little musical interlude that I thought would be appropriate, and I'm looking on my list, and it's not there.
Oh, no!
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be there. Oh, that's too bad, because I had it all queued up, too. Let me take a look. It's not there. So I don't have a musical introduction for him, it looks like. Sorry about that, everybody. But anyway, he is a rodeo clown for a long time, and he's been doing the rodeo clown thing for years. He's very popular on the rodeo circuit. And guess what, Jamie? He is coming to my hometown this weekend, and that's why we're talking to him. He's actually going to be – they're doing a rodeo. The Southern National Rodeo Championships are being held at the Kentucky Horse Park here in Lexington this weekend on March 25th and 26th. And that's Friday, Saturday night. Friday night, they're going to start at 7:30. Doors open at 6:30. And Saturday night, they're starting at 6 o'clock. The doors open at 5 o'clock. And it's one of the first big-time rodeos that's coming to the new indoor arena here at the Kentucky Horse Park. And one of the guys helping out is Rockin' Robbie Hodges, well-known rodeo clown, and we're thrilled to have him on the show with us today. Hey, Rockin' Robbie, I have a question for you. How proud was – go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying hello. How's everybody today? It is
beautiful here
in beautiful Georgia. I was helping your girl in there. Yeah.
Right off the top, Rockin' Robbie, how proud was your mama when you won Clown of the Year in 2005, that had to be the high point of her life.
Oh, it was. My mom's really proud. That was the things I used to get whipped for in school, and now I get paid good to do that. So I told her, just have faith and let me go. It'll be fine, Mom. And she said, okay, and she was talking to me through the glass. I was lazy.
Hey, Robbie, I got to tell you, my friend, it is so nice to talk to somebody from Georgia. Y'all going to hear my southern accent come on out, because this is what happens when you talk to somebody from your home state. It just comes on out, and Rockin' Robbie is just bringing the Georgia accent.
That's right. That's what we do. And, you know, when you come out this weekend here to the horse park, you're going to get some good southern humor, because the stuff, we don't make it up. It really happens down here, and we just tell everybody about it. You know how that goes. Now you're from Georgia?
I'm from Atlanta.
Atlanta. And you still have an accent. Awesome. Really?
Well,
what part of Atlanta? Alpharetta has to be.
No,
horse country.
No. I'm from Decatur, so I got a little bit of crunchy in me too. So no, my dad talks very, very, very southern. However, growing up in the city and being in broadcasting, I had to work very hard to not speak southern. But when I get you on the line, I just want to go ahead and talk southern with you.
Well, it's all right. You just unload on it, honey, because I promise you, we're going to talk southern. But can't nobody understand. I was down in, I just did a rodeo last weekend, 5 performances down in Mercedes, Texas, and it's right on the Mexican border, you know, right, well, 4 miles from the border, and you're talking about can't understand them people, but they could understand me, and if you'll talk loud to those people, it's amazing they hear. I don't understand why, but first thing somebody wants to do, you'll say a word, and you'll put a little bit of that Spanish accent in it. I don't know why that's supposed to help, but apparently they can understand if you put a little salsa in when you talk, like, would you like to go to the car? You know, instead of, I don't know, but they had a good time down there, but they couldn't understand much of me. But that's all right. Y'all can. That's good. Decatur, Georgia. By God. I bet you're cuter than a bucket of ducks.
She is.
I like it. I just got home. I've been on a 5-week run to the south, and I went down to Arcadia, Florida the week before that. And those people down there, that's a bunch of transplanted Yankees. So I get on the airplane. I flew down there from Houston. I'd done a rodeo in near Dallas in Fort Worth, Glen Rose, Texas, and with a really good friend of mine. He was the announcer there. So I just jumped on the airplane. He threw me on the plane. Well, I get on the plane. Have you ever been on a plane going to the south in the wintertime? It's nothing but old people. Not knocking old people. We might as well went in a 1980 Lincoln condominium with a, our whole time we fly in the left blinker's on, and we're in the fast lane of daggum up there in the sky, and all the other planes are honking the horn.
Going around it.
Finger was, yeah, get out of the way. It looked like a Geritol fest.
Well, you get that when you got.
So, Robbie, tell us, did you grow up wanting to be a clown, or did that just happen naturally?
Well, I kind of was. I rode barebacks for 16 years, and rode Bronx, and I was in the horse industry and that end of it, the ones that nobody could handle. I got on, I guess, 4 years, and never was much of a bull rider, but I rode barebacks, and I won me 3 or 4 championships there, and I got about 30 and decided that I was tired of waking up, cracking and popping every morning. So I said, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to quit. And when I did, I had a guy, a buddy of mine, it was a rodeo stock contractor, said, I told him, I said, you know, I'd like to be a rodeo clown, because somebody told me I should be. I'd always kind of put the rocks in the rigging bags, you know, at the rodeos and say, hey, fat boy, you work here? Yeah, well, open the gate. You know, stuff like that's kind of how I hid my fear. And he said, I'll give you a chance, and I wanted to do, you know, 2 or 3 rodeos a year, and I ended up doing 20 my first year, and now it's been a whirlwind. You know, I was fortunate enough this year to do the National Finals Rodeo out in Las Vegas as the barrel man in my 5th year, and I tell you what, guys, as a kid, you know, everybody knows, and all the, you know, folks listening are, you know, the barrel racers and stuff like that, and the ropers. When you're practicing in the pen, you're at the 10th round of the NFR is always your scenario, you know. And here we go. This is the 10th round to win the world, you know. And And just to be there that one time, and I actually got to see what the 10th round was like, it was the greatest honor for a little kid from Georgia. I tell you, it was amazing. I'd love to go back and do it again, you know, every year, but I want somebody else, too, to get the opportunity to walk down that tunnel. I mean, it's amazing. 18,000 people a night, you know, the greatest rodeo fans and greatest cowboys and cowgirls in the world. And I mean, if you ever get a chance, you have to go to the National Finals Rodeo. You'll become a rodeo fan all over. I did.
We are so looking forward to seeing you this weekend. We're coming out on Friday night, and we're really looking forward to seeing you. You guys so much more. If you haven't seen a long time, the rodeo clowns just don't, you know, they do. Obviously, their main job is to protect their riders, make sure they don't get killed.
Right.
But the other job you guys have now is really you entertain the crowd, you know, between events, and you're really doing more entertaining now than you used to in the past.
Absolutely. Well, we're busier than a set of jumper cables at a trailer park funeral from 7:30 to 10 o'clock. I mean, and
I was fell off my ball.
You never been to a trailer park funeral, man? Jumper cables and air pumps? My God. Hey, man, I left my radio on. Could have borrowed jumper cables. Yeah. Good Lord. I thought you had some Decatur. That's the city now, say, Sugar. You're out here. We're out here in Polk County. That's right. In fact,
are you in Polk County?
Yes, ma'am, near Cedartown, Georgia. You know where Cedartown is?
You're up north, isn't that?
That's west, northwest, yep. I live in a little town called Cave Spring, Georgia. But my folks live over here in Cedartown, so I'm hanging out here eating free food for a few days. Don't say nothing about that. Do you really? Yeah. Isn't that excellent? I know, and Mom feels like, you're not eating enough. I'm going to fix you something to eat. You know, well, gravy where we live is an after-dinner drink, so I'll be, I weigh 225 pounds when I get out of here, and I'm 170 right now. But how do you get off on food? What is the matter with you people? What y'all done? What are we talking about? Squirrel.
Why aren't you on tour with Larry the Cable Guy? Is he like a good friend of yours?
Yes, actually, I spent New Year's with Dan Whitney, Larry the Cable Guy, the other day, if my girlfriend's listening right now, she lives in San Diego, she'll be laughing, because anything in the South the other day can be now to 10 years ago. You know that. So the other day, yep. I spent New Year's with Larry the Cable Guy, and what a joy it was. It was so funny. They had all the people from Pixar, Disney Pixar there, and we ate Sonny's Barbecue, catered the New Year's party, and we ate chips and salsa out of a bag and out of the bowl. I mean, out of the glass, you know, the jar. It wasn't none of this fancy stuff, and I had to help him get his margarita machine going.
That sounds like a Larry the Cable Guy party right there.
Oh, my gosh, it's perfect. Yeah. And, he's a super good guy. And he's brought, you know, comedy to a different level. And I only try to steal his really good stuff from him. You know what we're using.
So
you know what, though?
If we're stealing twice.
That's right.
He'll use some of my stuff, too. See, we've lost
really?
Him good comedy stuff. Yeah, he'll use, like, well, we can't use Michael Jackson anymore. You can't use the Crocodile Hunter anymore. Good Lord, all these people are dying off, and it's messing up our whole deal. You know, so we have to kind of, yeah. The world's always changing, you know. They don't think about us, but anyhow, but he'll use some stuff, and I'll use some of his stuff every once in a while. I might have to throw one in of his. I don't like to use other people's comedy because, you know, I like to think of my own, and then it works. It's sort of like selling a painting. You know, you're doing a painting every Friday and Saturday night, and, you know, you want people to buy your work, and it's so, you know, it's such a – that's the 80-point ride I can't make anymore because – I don't ride barebacks anymore, is hearing these people laugh and cheer and stopping what they're doing, you know, to hear something new that I've come up with or a little skit or anything, you know, just to make, you know, my gauge and my judge of this is how the cowboys are laughing. If I'm out there doing a skit or if I'm doing a show and I see the cowboys have stopped what they're doing, you know, to watch it, then I know that it's been a successful, you know, a deal. And or some of them will come up and say, well, we see this client all the time. He does the same stuff. We like when you do something different, you know. And to me, that's the 80-point ride that I can't make anymore in the bareback ride, you know, to get those guys. And then my saves, too, you know, in the barrel and stuff. I love to work the barrel. I am a barrel man. I'm not just a rodeo clown. I really, really, you know, take pride in working the barrel, and that's what got me to the national finals this year was my barrel work, you know, and the protection and then the guys knowing that, you know, they'll be safe. And, you know, they'll come up and say, man, we appreciate it. I was fixing to get smoked out there, and, you know, you brought your barrel up. Or, you know, that's kind of what – I mean, I don't just work for that, but it's a good pat on the back when those guys are, you know, when they're appreciative if you make a save and get knocked down. And other bullfighters, my main job is to protect those two bullfighters, you know, and make sure as a barrel man to make sure, because when they get knocked over, there ain't nobody to come get them but me, you know, and, right. I try to do that, and I really take pride in that. Now, that was about all the seriousness I'm going to give you. So
I was going to say that that's what people forget about the rodeo clown job is actually it's inherently incredibly dangerous, and you guys are risking your lives to protect others the entire time. And I know you sit here and you make light of it, but a round of applause for you and what you do, because you save guys every single night.
Yeah, well, we try to. You know, we do the best we can. Rodeo is very dangerous. I was watching something today about dangerous, and I was, for some reason, I was on the news this morning. They were talking about doing away with the kickoff return of football.
What?
Yeah, it said something about we're going to change the rules. I didn't get to hear the whole thing, but, you know, it's dangerous. It's an inherent risk that you take. It's like bull riding. What are they going to do now? No more bull riding. No more horns on bulls, you know. That's the excitement. That's what people go, you know, rodeo's a lot like stock car racing. Nobody wants to see a really bad wreck, but you don't want to be at the popcorn stand if it happens. You know what I mean? You don't want to miss it if it does. Nobody ever wants to see that. But, you know, and that's the inherent risk. And I'm thinking the world's changing. People, you know, everything is safety, which, I mean, there is a way to be safe and do what we do, but it's still a dangerous sport. That's why we do it. I have small man's disease, apparently, because I love the danger element. I love the excitement of it, you know. And, yeah, there's a chance every night you may not get to walk out of that arena, you know. But there's also 50 other guys or 40 other guys that are taking the same chance that you are, you know. And, you know, and that's what we've chose to do. But that just bothered me. I thought, well, now, why would they take – well, it's dangerous, they were saying, something about kickoff returns. Well,
you know what, Robbie, though, when you think about it, we're a country also that has gone from boxing to cage fighting. I mean, you know
– yeah.
Where does
cage
that
fighting to me
then?
Used to be at Max's Supper Club at 2:30 in the morning in Mississippi over, because Max used to sing behind the cage. You know, that was cage fighting for us. I'm looking at my mom's got two big old giant parakeets over here in the cage, and I say, yeah, we'll start on that cage fighting crap. We don't want to hear it. We want boxing.
Yeah, I know.
One
I totally
just
agree with
the
that.
Other one.
And Larry the Cable Guy, getting back to him a little bit, he has this new show. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it on the History Channel. And it's pretty good.
I heard about that, where he goes and does cool stuff and all over America. I need to call him, get him in the clown barrel.
He was. He was. That was one of the segments last week.
Was it really?
Yeah, it's actually at a rodeo, and he did the clown thing. So he was out there doing your job there for a minute, but I don't think
that's
he really
awesome.
Wanted to stay doing that job. He really didn't like it a whole lot.
You know, it takes a different kind. It takes a different kind to do what we do, you know. But like I said, you know, for the first 2 hours or hour and 45 minutes of the rodeo before that bull riding starts, I'm the entertainment. I make sure. And this year at Kentucky, to get back to that, this week at the horse part, we've got a great, great rodeo announcer, Roger Mooney. He's a national finals rodeo announcer. So, I mean, and he's been nominated
he's
for
the top
announcer
guy.
Of the year. Yeah, he's a top six, two. You know, they don't used to call it top five. Now they've added one. But he's a top fiver. And he is amazing to hear. And he and I, he lives up in Ellijay, Georgia. And
all
he
right.
And I, we go at it. And it is so much fun when Roger is announcing. I mean, you have to stay on your toes because he'll throw the jokes at you. you know, and you really have to pay attention to what's going on, because Roger will throw a joke at you and then you'll have to, you know, respond. And it's a good workout when you're with Roger, and he is such an amazing. He's done the he's done the Great Lakes Circuit Finals for the last 10 or 12 years over in Louisville at the Freedom Hall. And he got me in there about 5 years ago, and I've done it the last 5 years together. And when we do, people just stop rodeoing and just enjoy hearing us go at it, you know. And that's what's so much fun is to hear him. He is a phenom on the microphone. He'll be proud of me that I learned that word if he's listening, but he probably ain't listening. He sleeps all day. He's a vampire. But, I mean, when you come out this weekend.
I assume we'll be doing all six of the different things, or six or seven different things they do at normal rodeos will be this weekend. Do you know?
Exactly. Yep. You'll have Cowboys are vying for a national champ or the world championship. You know, this is a stop on the way to the National Finals Rodeo. You know, they go to rodeos all over the country, and then the top 15 money winners at the end of the year go to Las Vegas, you know, for the finals. So, this rodeo, their dollars count just like any of them, from Cheyenne to anywhere, and you'll see a lot. And the Mark Johnson Universal Rodeo is amazing. His animals are great. They've been featured at the National Finals. He actually has a buckskin horse they were 87 on about 2 years ago at the National Finals. So Captain Buck will be there, and all these good horses he's got. And he's got a bunch of bulls that went to the National Finals. So, I mean, you're going to see the same bulls and stuff that you see on ESPN. You're going to get to see you're going to get to see live rodeo action up close. You know, it's a lot like stock car racing. Like I said, if you people say, I don't want to watch that, it's just going around in a circle, and then you'll take them to a race or even a rodeo, and then they're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe how these bulls are, how, you know, athletic they are and how high they jump in the air, and these little guys that are riding them. It's amazing, you know, to see it live sitting on a, you know, in a good seat. It'll make a fan out of you, and that's what's so great about, you know, with the rodeo and stuff, is the up closeness, you know. And here's something else: for the money that you spend, you're going to get 2.5 hours of entertainment. You're not going to be, you know, at a concert, you give $100 for a ticket, which is three times as much as these tickets are, and you might get the entertainer for an hour, you know, at the most, and you got warm up, and, you know, but here you're going to get your total value for the money. I think that's rodeo to me is the best value in the entertainment business, because of the price and how much entertainment you get, you know. And then there's enough breaks to get you to go get some popcorn and come back. We don't want you to miss anything. And that's, to me, that's the best part, and that's the best sell of rodeo, is its entertainment value for the price. You know, 2.5 hours of good family entertainment. You know, there's not going to be any, we're not going to bite the heads off any doves. Might throw a cowboy in the air, but we're not going to hurt him. You know, you won't have
Robbie, I got to say, if you haven't been up here yet, you're going to be performing in a brand new stadium that was just put up last year. It is a beautiful stadium. It's really
right.
Nice.
That's what I hear.
They're having it in the new indoor arena, right? They're doing it in the new stadium,
yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah, in the new stadium. It sure is, in the new big covered arena, and it's I mean, there won't be a bad seat. It's a brand new facility. Come out and support it. That's the main thing. You know, folks in Louisville, come out and support it. We'll tell you the scores on the basketball game. You know, we're going to holler that out every once in a while. Don't worry. Come out and get your money's worth.
Well, I've got to say, too, I have two other things, and then we'll let you go. And I so appreciate you joining us.
Oh, heck no.
This
they tell me, no, we're going to be here till noon. We're not going anywhere.
Two other things. One is we were invited, and we're going down in May, to Graceland to do the morning show live at Graceland to talk about the horses that are still there and all that stuff. And
are you serious?
What's this I hear about you singing Elvis Presley songs?
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a – that is one of the most useless traits that I have, but I'm an Elvis impersonator too when I'm not – when I don't have bronchitis. And it was so funny the other day. I was in Mercedes, and we were doing sound check, and my sound guy just busted out the trilogy on the, you know, the karaoke version of it. And I sang it, and I turned around, and there's about 300 people standing there. It was so funny. Nobody had any idea. I don't let that get out. Thank God it's not going to get out. You know, it's just going over the Internet right now, viral. So that's really nice. But
Sing. Go ahead.
But,
do it. Let's hear it.
Oh, no. You don't want me to do that this morning,
come
I promise
on.
You. No, no, no. Well, you'll have to wait for the rodeo to do that. I may bust out some Elvis for Roger at the rodeo. You come to
the
rodeo,
I'll
sing it for you.
I'll be the one standing up screaming, sing Elvis, okay? So you'll know.
That would be you, all right? If you stand up and scream and sing Elvis, I'll stand up and sing it. How about that?
All right, there we
you
go.
Do.
That's a
hey,
deal.
So
that's
y'all are going
deal.
To Graceland. Have you ever been to Graceland before?
I have
amazing.
Not,
amazing.
No.
Are you serious? You're going
to
like it.
No, I have not Elvis. Been to Graceland, actually. And they have invited us to come down. We're going to be heading down there to actually do the show from there one morning. And they want to get the word out that Elvis was a horse person and that there are
oh, absolutely he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something interesting about that when on the horse deal, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but, you know, two of those horses are originals that he had there, or one of them was still. I'm sure they're about gone by now, but very old. And what they did, they implanted I don't know if you know this or not, but they implanted lenses over those horses' eyes to protect them like a contact lens from UV from so many photos.
No
because,
way.
Is that right?
Yep. When you go to Elvis, when you go to Graceland, when you go like in the buildings and stuff to see all of Elvis's stuff, you can't take flash pictures. They won't allow you to take flash pictures. Well, they were worried so many flashes on these animals that it would blind them, so they implanted protective lenses on the horses. Now, I don't know if these are still the same ones. I haven't been there in about 10 years, and these old horses, you know, they got to be getting old, but if they're even still with us. But, Elvis has a big black horse out there, and he had an old Palomino out there that was so neat.
Well,
we went over to
it. I think the Palomino died, but they got another Palomino. Apparently, there hasn't been, like, one day since he died that there hasn't been a Palomino on Graceland.
That's
they've
awesome.
Kept it that way. Yeah, they kept it that way so that well, we're looking forward to going out. That'll be a lot of fun. We're running out of time here.
Robbie, that's fine.
And,
just run out of time talking about Elvis. Okay. No, I'm just
well,
kidding. Hey, guys, you
I'll
guys
tell you what
come
Jamie
out.
Really wants to know. I'll tell you what Jamie really wants to know, and I don't even think we have time for an answer, is how a Georgia boy that, you know, that basically makes his life in a barrel ends
yeah.
up with a girlfriend from California? How does that happen?
Southern
yeah,
Cal?
Out at the rodeo. San Diego, baby. When you see me, you'll see with my muscled up, it's my physique and good looks. I'm 6'2 on eHarmony, see. So
I thought maybe it was the the coveralls that are about 12 times too large. I thought maybe she got into that baggy look.
She may, yeah. Oh, like a rapper died and I have my pants at half mast. Yeah, you're right. No, I don't wear those anymore. I'm sort of the non-traditional type. But no, she she lives out there, and I met her at the Poway, her first rodeo she ever went to, and I've earned her since. She's been to Louisville, the National Finals, and this summer she's going to get a dose of real rodeo out when it's 120 degrees. So I hope she'll hang in there. I believe she will. She's pretty tough. But you guys come out
all
this
right,
weekend.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rock and Robbie. We appreciate it.
You
bet. Friday.
Thank
right.
you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, we just have to play this after that, and we'll be back with the horse to settle the argument about hooves and hoofs.
Howdy, everybody. I'm Bob Dahlman. Welcome to Fort Worth, Texas. Now, the higher they jump, the better they buck, the better you ride, the more money to win. It's rodeo time, ladies, let's ride.
Hey, I'm real proud of the life I'm living. The Cadillac girls, I will keep on giving. Rolling down the road to the next show. It's a big thing we call the rodeo. They ride bulls and broncs from Fort Worth to Austin. My cowboy friends, yeah, they're awesome. It's where the cowgirl chicks ride for the red, white, and blue. It's the rodeo show, rodeo show. Come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west, kick it up, kick down. Work real hard, yeah, we give our best. You got your bucking shoes, Justin boots. Saturday night, yeah, that's what we do. Made in the USA. With a kick of rock.
Yeah, I've been to Nashville and had my knock, so I came home where I belong, back to Texas where my roots are strong. And I admit my heart got broke, so I cowgirled up, had my mind made up that I was gonna make it to the real big show.
Rodeo.
It's rodeo show, rodeo show. Come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west, kick it up, kick stuff. Work real hard, yeah, we'll give all faith. You got your fucking shoes, jumps and boots. Saturday night, yeah, that's what we do. Made in the USA, the American way. Hey, it's the rodeo show, rodeo.
That was appropriate. I am so looking forward to Friday night going and seeing Rockin' Robbie do his thing. I'm going to make it a point to try and get a picture with Rockin' Robbie and post that on Facebook.
You better. That's awesome. What a funny guy. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know he was going to be a stand-up comedian.
Well, he was funny. I he should be traveling with Larry the Cable Guy. I think he's actually funnier. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was
he
great.
He can come on the show anytime. Anytime. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. This is Glenn the Geek with Jamie Jennings. And this show today is sponsored by Back on Track Products. You can visit them at backontrackproducts.com.
Well, it's time. I know that, you know, some people are excited about our argument. Some people are passionate about it. And some people are just mad about it. And they would like us to shut up about this whole argument that we've been having since the beginning of the show. We've had calls and support from, you know, people in and out of Pennsylvania. And it's going one way or the other. And I just think that the Pennsylvania people pronounce it incorrectly, except for Jackie Baker. So what we have to do is we've got to get Dr. Jones on the line to settle our argument once and for all. Dr. Jones, are you there?
I'm not sure. Maybe I shouldn't.
Okay. When a horse is walking along, what are they standing on?
They're standing on their hooves.
Yeah!
I don't know. That was sort of in between. Say it again.
Are you discussing the pronunciation of the word hoof?
Yes, we are. Woo-hoo!
Yes, we are. It's a hoof, by the way. It's not a hoof. It's a hoof.
Well, it could be my
Midwestern
twang.
I honestly think
twang,
you're the only person.
You know?
I think you're the only person I know who says it that way.
Thank you. So you've heard me say it before.
I've had support today. People have called who say it my way. Now, they went to school with me. But
how
regardless
many?
Of that, I think you guys get, you.
He's speechless. I love it.
I would like to point out, Glenn, that the only support that you have had is a guy living in England, a guy that went to high school with you, and your wife. That is it. So you lose because every woman has backed me up. It is not a hoof. It's a hoof. It's a hoof. You pick the hooves. You pick the hoof. It's a hoof. And Dr. Jones was to settle the argument. As you said,
oh, no.
She's in Florida. It's a melting pot. And I think she – say it again, Dr. Jones. How is it?
We're going to talk about the hoof today.
Yes. There you go, Glenn.
Who invited her to this party?
I did.
Oh, that's right. Christy did. Well, I think we should say that we are now going to do the horse health segment of the week with thehorse.com. And we would like to welcome Christy and whoever else that is on the line there.
And we're not talking about abscesses today. Darn it.
I know. Throw some
no,
out.
No, you're talking about – okay. So I look at the show notes this morning, and I see what we're talking about today is seedy toe. Who the heck wants to talk about a thing called seedy toe? You know, the vision of what you know of what that might be. Seedy
so
toe.
You don't know what it is yet.
No, it almost sounds like the name of a rock. It almost sounds like the name of an English rock band. Seedy toe. You know.
Well, from yeah. another perspective, it's the way the hoof grows longer because they need seeds to grow.
Awesome.
All right.
Christy and Dr. Jones, yeah, go ahead. Take it away because clearly Glenn is going to go pout now. Go ahead.
Well, since he opened it up, we might as well talk about seedy toe, Christy.
Might as well.
Well, the seedy toe is actually caused from too long of a hoof, most likely. It also comes from being a little softer hoof wall. They tend to separate between the wall itself and the sole. There's a area in there that can gather up debris, kind of like the thrush smell you get out of fog, but even, I think, worse. And it gathers in the toe area. I've seen it more with longer toes than I have seen it with shorter toes. I've seen it in wetter environments than in drier environments, and it just collects bacteria in that area. Unfortunately, there's no pus, though, Glenn, on this one. It's just a black, you know, gooey stuff and a bit of a foul smell.
And basically,
well, you know, there's nothing worse than foul hoof smell, though. There really is nothing worse than foul hoof smell. That's something that
smell?
Can turn your life
anyway.
Foul hoof smell. Hoof smell. Go ahead.
Anyway, usually the farrier will find the seedy toe before a veterinarian does. You need, again, back to regular farrier visits and have them be there at the farrier appointment as much as you possibly can so you can find out how your horse's foot is doing with bacteria, thrush, all that kind of stuff.
And you actually get to see sometimes in some of these presentations as you see at vet or farrier conventions where the hoof is actually separating, the hoof wall, the outer hoof wall is actually separating away from the inner tissues of the foot in a really bad case. And what they usually tend to do for these presentations is they'll take a hoof knife and just tuck it up there in between and just let it go. And there's enough separation and space in there to hold that knife.
Absolutely.
So that's always a really nice visualization for you to take home with you, Glenn. And
well, the other thing I wanted to bring up that will roll with the seedy toe is hoof cracks. And it's not necessarily seedy toe caused hoof cracks, but I've also seen it in either horses that have not had proper hoof care. Either it's gone too long, it's just been out of balance. Horses will get hoof cracks. Primarily, they're seen at the toe of the hoof. And that tends to be a fulcrum or breakover point of the foot, and it takes a lot of wear and tear if you don't have shoes on. So those cracks can occur from being too long. They start to chip up, and then they separate going all the way up the tubular structure of the hoof wall. So you see this line going right up the front line of the hoof wall. And those are very, very common. They're very common to see. And, again, farrier see those long before the veterinarian does. The only time veterinarians are really called in for those is a concerned owner. The farrier battled with it and is kind of at their wit's end, and they'll call the veterinarian in to help them out. We take some x-rays possibly. But those toe cracks are very, very common. The quarter cracks are also common, but more troubling for horse owners and farriers and vets, I'll be honest. A quarter cracks a lot of times comes from an imbalanced foot. And if you think about the quarter is back by the heel bulb, it's on the side, it's not at the toe, why would a horse crack the hoof wall there, especially at the top rather than at the bottom? And that quarter crack there on the side tends to split because they're either weight-bearing more on that side or landing heavier on that side, whether it's inside or outside of the foot. The toe or the heel sometimes tends to run underneath those horses, and they don't stand on their upright tubular structure. They're supposed to stand upright. It's actually, you can see a rolled appearance. If you look at your horse sideways, you see how the lines that go up and down on the hoof wall are actually kind of curving underneath the heel. That's another reason for these quarter cracks to pop up. They can bleed. They can be very painful. We all know about the Brown quarter crack issues that he was having, and you know, a lot of involvement from his farrier and probably from a veterinarian as well, but mostly the farrier is trying to keep those quarter cracks under control because they can go as deep as a sensitive lamina and then move up and down as the horse lands on it and just irritate that sensitive area to the point of bleeding.
Mm. Well, now, I do have a – I hate to get serious here. Dr. Jones, why do some – and I don't know, is it hereditary, is it genetic that some horses' hoofs are tougher than others? Do some horses just genetically have weaker hooves or hoofs, huffs, whatever, feet, have weaker feet than others? And they get cracks more because, you know, we've had horses that just seem their feet are cracking all the time, and no matter what you do about it, you put them on supplements or whatever, and they just, their feet seem to be crappy. Is that genetic or what do you think?
It's a combination of everything, but genetics does play a role in it. Now, I'm not going to say that your mare who has hoof crack breeds to my stallion who doesn't. We're definitely going to get a baby with hoof cracks. No, I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say that your mare who has hoof crack, my stallion that doesn't, we breed them, the baby comes out. I put him into an environment, and I don't pay attention to the feet for, I don't know, 6 months, and it's grown out, it's weight-bearing funny, and I get a quarter crack. I can't say it's because of your mare. It probably was more because of the environment the horse is sitting in.
But they might be more prone to it.
Maybe. We haven't proven that. Yeah. We definitely haven't proven that, but okay. There are better hoof walls on some horses than others. Also, the anatomy of the hoof wall. Again, going back to many weeks ago discussion of doing the preventative x-rays of the feet for a baseline for your farrier, and then if you ever have a problem down the line, you can redo the x-rays and see, has there been an adjustment or change? Does that coffin bone underneath there really line up with the hoof wall, or does some adjustments need to be made?
Okay.
I think that's a good point. Glenn, you mentioned that you always have some horses that have crappy feet, and I'll just throw one at you. My mare had really kind of crumbly feet. She didn't really throw shoes a lot, but her feet just didn't look very good, and they were always having to put the nails in pretty high for the padded shoes that she had on. But when I moved from Georgia to Kentucky, there were a few things that changed. Obviously, the environment changed, and the type of hay we were able to get was much better. So there's an argument for nutrition. But her hooves got a ton better, but the two things I changed, obviously, were the hay. And also, I changed from, you know, South Georgia, it's super hot. She's always sweating a lot whenever I rode. I'd hose her off. You know, so this is almost every day. She's essentially getting a bath, getting her feet soaked. And when I moved up to Kentucky, started, they did this barn, they tended to do sponge baths to try and keep the feet dry. So I said, all right, well, I'll try that for a while. It can't hurt, you know, uses less water, less mud. This is good. And, you know, after several months, her feet were so much better. So maybe a little
and that's
bit
a very good point is you may have the best environment, but then if you're bathing them every day or rinsing them every day, if you're standing in a pool of water or even just a little bit of a puddle of water underneath your hose, that's going to soften up the hoof wall.
And it seems like
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I just because here I am in a very, very, very dry climate. I mean, it rains like 4 days a year here, right? So in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So what I am noticing is that my horse's feet are incredibly hard and dry to
yes.
the point where, like, I feel like the pieces are chipping off. So what do you suggest for that aside from, like, And do they work, too, like the hoof oils and the Rainmaker and all that kind of stuff that they sell on the shelves? What actually works and what doesn't?
Well, the hoof dressings is in drier environments so that you can soften up. It's like us using moisturizer in a dry environment as opposed to an environment like mine. I rarely use a moisturizer in the summer because it just drips right off of me. So we don't necessarily have to worry about that. Here, farriers love working on feet here in Florida because they don't have to sharpen their knives very often because the soles just,
yeah.
I mean, just peel out. You could use a butter knife and cut them out. It's just so nice. But again, Phoenix, or where I'm from in Missouri, they were tough as nails, and they would have to sharpen their knife almost after every horse they did just to, you know, pare out their foot. Those dressings they have, you don't need to paint the entire hoof. The area that's going to absorb is going to be at the coronary band. It's like the nail bed of your nails. And again, going back to diet too, which Christy mentioned, is a fabulous thing. You will have hair loss or acne or whatever due to your diet. If you have too much chocolate, they say, causes acne. You know, you have bad nail growth based on what you eat. So, you know, your diet shows on your skin and hair and nails, just like a horse would show it in their skin and their hooves. You see a ring in a horse's foot, and that ring's halfway down their hoof walls, just a definite ring, and there's a difference between the hoof growth before it and after it. You can say 6 months ago that horse either had an illness or had a diet change, and it affected the horse to the point that it showed in its hoof wall growth. So back to your question, Jennifer, that they would have to, or actually it was Jamie that asked the question, that you would want to do the dressing, and you can also do a feed-through biotin to strengthen the hoof wall if you're having problems with the strengthening part. If you're talking about just moisturizing it, those moisturizers are good, but you don't have to paint the whole wall, just the coronary band.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Yeah.
It saves you money.
We don't have a problem with strong hoofs. Like you said, my farrier, she is amazing. And she comes out, and I'm like, I don't know how you do that. Because I had an abscess, and I'm like trying to use my hoof pick on it, you know, just trying to like get around the area. Oh, my God. It was like it might as well try to cut through cement. So she definitely has her work cut out for her.
Mm-hmm. I've also heard, and Aaron, tell me what your thoughts are on this. I've heard some people talking about having horses in desert environments, like Jamie's suggests, having a wet area around the water trough so they can get a little bit of moisture on their feet. I think the theory being that everything in moderation, and what you don't have is moisture, so you create a little bit of moisture, whereas my opposite situation where my horse is getting bathed and having her feet in moisture and then drying out every day, you know, getting completely soaked and then drying out every day was not so good, but maybe a little bit of moisture in a desert environment being good. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I mean, think about the horses on the plains. They moved from place to place to place. They did stand in water to drink, so they were moisturizing their foot while they're standing in the water to drink. So, yeah, that's a great idea. The only thing is, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if you dump out the water trough, you're dumping it onto sand and it goes immediately.
Yeah.
So it probably doesn't stay as wet as long as we would think in, you know, Georgia or such with more of a clay or dirt ground. But it probably will help.
We can't make mud here. It's gone. But it's a good idea.
It doesn't last long, for sure.
Okay,
good.
So I have
so
one final
else?
Question I think we have time for is do the supplements like the biotin and those kind of things work?
The biotin's really been the only supplement that's been proven to work to get to growth. So, yeah, the biotin supplements do help. Hoof dressings, they help moisturize, and, you know, you just kind of use those per your farrier. Ask your farrier, how does the hoof look this week or, you know, this meeting? Hardening the soles, we use that a lot here in Florida. There's some great hardening sole products on the market. They're mostly water-resistant type products. We here at the vet clinic, since we have access to it, use formaldehyde. It toughens it up. Women would go to mortuaries to get formaldehyde to strengthen their nails, to paint on their nails to strengthen them up. Same idea. It does tighten up the bottom of the hoof wall so it can get a little harder quicker. So, you know, most of those products you're going to find that help the hoof, as long as it has a biotin in it, like the biotin, the methionine would be another product you want to look at in there, and the lignin, I believe, would be the third product you want to look at. I always have to look at the labels. And all those things are good for hair growth and skin growth in the animal, so that will affect their hoof wall. And then again, a good diet. Christy mentioned it earlier. You have a horse on a good diet.
Yeah.
Really
well, I can honestly say I probably can still eat lunch today. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. I don't necessarily like the way you pronounce your words, but, you know, you're from Florida. So
we'll
forgive you for that. Thank you, guys.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate you being on again from thehorse.com. You guys had a bunch of good articles over there, too. I was going through the news today, and there were a bunch of them that hit. And I just recommend that everybody go to thehorse.com as often as possible. And there's just some good stuff there right now that you're going to want to take a look at with spring here and that kind of thing. Christy, did you have anything else?
No, I just want to say thank you very much for that, Glenn. We always do try to keep a lot of good stuff. And we're talking a little bit about hoof dressings today, and we've had several articles on that. One that I actually pulled up during the show was called Hoof Dressings, What Studies Show. It was article number 3840. If you just want to search for that, you can pull it up and see what some of the research says about different kinds of hoof dressings. You might have some interest in that.
All right, great. Well, thank you both, even Dr. Jones, for joining us today.
All right, Glenn, I'll forgive you.
All right.
Love you guys.
Wait till
guys,
next
bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jamie,
you
know, I got to tell you a story. Jennifer can remind me of the details, but I think it was actually our friend Darcy when she was with us as a kid at the barn. She was probably 15 years old.
I think I know what story you're
going
to do.
Yeah, you know where we're going with this. Her horse got a cut. It was pretty good cut.
It was a pretty good cut.
We knew that we had to put something on it, and it was just her and I. Jennifer was away at a show, I think. So I go into the barn, and I go in, and there's this bottle, and I said, I think this bottle that you put on, this is what Jennifer puts on cuts.
Yeah, you thought
so
it was Betadine.
So we took it.
Yeah.
We thought it was Betadine, right. And if I remember, they were in generic bottles. They weren't labeled. So we had to sort of guess. So we took it out, we put it on, and Jennifer gets home, and we're like, oh, we handled this. Take a look at this. We're all proud of ourselves. We had used formaldehyde.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, you know what? The cut healed.
Yeah.
The horse was dead, but the cut healed really well. It was really good healing on the cut.
And the horse was preserved beautifully.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Jennifer's like, do you guys know what you just used? And we're like, yeah, we used that stuff we were supposed to use. No, you didn't.
Yeah, that bottle actually contained a product called Durasol, which was formaldehyde, acetone and iodine for toughening hoof soles. And it's about the same color as Betadine. And yeah, and they picked it up. It smells nasty. I know Betadine smells nasty, and it looks like the right color. And they were and I distinctly remember this when I got home because Glenn's going, oh my God, we're gonna kill her. And he said, well, we were kind of wondering when we put it on there and scrubbed, it didn't make any suzzy foam.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I've done the same thing with that hoof. It's like a hoof dressing, but it's the exact same color as Betadine. And I poured it on the back of the back of my horse's hock. He had got a little bit of a cut, and I was going to clean it out. And all of a sudden, and I used my hands just because I put it on the thing, and I just started scrubbing it with my hands. And then my hand immediately soaked in all of this brown Betadine colored oil stuff. Yeah, so people, label your stuff. My boarder had put it into a different container. She was like, oh, I wanted a little squeeze container. So it was put into like a ketchup bottle container,
mm-hmm.
clear. So I just thought, oh, this is Betadine. You know, you pour it out of the gallon into this thing. No. It was like they sucked the life out of you hoof stuff.
Yeah.
Or thrush.
See, Glenn, you weren't alone.
No, apparently, you know, I bet you there's lots of stories like that. If you have a story of using the wrong product on your horse, post it on Facebook today. Post it on our page. We'd love to hear about it because I'm sure I'm not alone in that. I may be the only one saying hoof, but I don't think we're the only ones that have put the wrong thing on our horse. You know, it's one of those things where you're the most common reason that you're putting stuff in a generic bottle is the lid breaks or, you know, something's busted about the bottle, so you pour it in and you say, I'll label that later. And then you know what it is, but nobody else in the barn knows what it is.
Yeah, one of my faves, and you hear this one a lot, someone who's helping to groom oft times a friend or a relatively newbie, especially at a horse show, getting the horse ready for the show, putting tack on, lots and lots. You say, make sure you put a ton of fly spray on that horse. Don't want him jiggling during the dressage class.
Oh, no.
Covers them.
I see where this is going.
You know where this is going, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Show scene. Every time. The dang. Stop spraying Shoshin on the saddle area, for God's sake. Oh, my God. You'll be underneath your horse in about 0.2 seconds.
They thought it was fly spray, so they just drenched the horse with it. And you can't get that stuff off.
No. No, definitely not. Yeah, we've all been there. Or you do fly, you do the Shoshin, and you want to put some in their forelock. So you spray your hand, and you run it through their forelock, and everything's all happy. And then you got to hold the reins. And you can't hold your dang reins because your hands are covered in Shoshin. So, yeah, that stuff is evil. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Jennifer,
yeah.
Hates
well, we've
it when
all
I use. When I use Armor All in the car, because if you're using Armor All to clean the dashboard and all that stuff in the car and make it look all pretty, you're going to get some on the steering wheel. And then the steering wheel, it's just like Shoshin. The steering wheel's slick and you can hardly turn the car. So she hates it when I use Armor All in the car. So I have to be more careful when I get in trouble.
I don't even have Shoshin with my stuff because I know what will happen. Beaker will be really shiny.
The whole Armor All thing, by the way, Glenn, when I was taking my truck in to be sold, to trade it in for our new truck that we have, Chad Armor All the entire front end of it, like the dashboard and everything. Well, I was riding in the passenger seat, and I always take my shoes off and put my feet up on the dashboard. That is just the way I ride in the passenger seat of a car. It drives some people crazy. I don't care. I just kick back, put my feet on the dashboard. Well, then I slipped my feet back into my clogs as we were going, my Dansko clogs, as we were going to look at trucks. I could barely stand up. The armhole had soaked in to the bottom of my socks. And then I put my feet into the clogs and armor-alled the bottom of my clogs. I looked like I was handicapped walking around there. It was amazing. Dad's like, are you okay? I'm like, you armor-alled this dang dashboard. I can't stand up. That's funny. I thought I was the only one. Oh, Lord.
Well, this has been a fun show. My face hurts from laughing today. I'll tell you, we're gonna have to get Rock and Robbie back, you know, like once a month, and just let him do a stand up bit. He's just let him go. Just, we don't have to say anything. We can go have breakfast. We can come back. He'll still be going. Rock and Robbie. Well, don't forget that this is if you're in the Kentucky area, and he did mistake Louisville for Lexington a couple times. It's in Lexington at the Kentucky Horse Park Friday and Saturday night. It's a big rodeo. This is a big deal. This is a PRCA rodeo. It's the Southern National Rodeo Championships. They're going to have barrel racing, and they're going to have bucking broncs and bucking bulls. And, you know, they're going to be doing team penning. You know, they're going to be doing all the things they do at a rodeo. So come on out Friday night. It starts at 7:30. Saturday night starts at 6 o'clock. Put on by Border North Productions. We thank them for contacting us yesterday and for arranging us to speak to Rock and Robbie. We're looking forward to seeing him then. And, of course, tomorrow you're going to want to tune in because we have the owner of Mucho Macho Man on, and there's such good stories there. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow, but that'll be coming up tomorrow. Well, it's been
awesome.
Fun, Jamie. I concede I will give that maybe it was the Amish influence, the Pennsylvania Dutch way of saying hoof.
Yeah, I could go with that. I'll give you that one.
I don't know. But we'll look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. This has been more like Freestyle Friday than Wacky Wednesday. You know, it's been fun.
I think it's great. Everybody, post your random stories on Facebook about the time you used the wrong product. Follow us on Horses in the Morning on Facebook page if you're not already. And we're also on Twitter at Horse Radio, which, by the way, Glenn, did you know every time you tweet something, you tweet it twice? Say that five times fast.
And that's because I have Facebook tied in with Twitter, and every time it posts on one of our Facebook pages, it also posts on Twitter. That's why.
Did you know every time you tweet it twice? That was awesome. That was awesome. All right, well, I'll give you some live show. I know. I'm a little punch drunk. Where, of course, if you miss a live show, you can listen to a recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. Don't tweet twice. You never need to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Wear your helmet and be safe.